Alex Minda. This is SpielPod.com, the Week in Georgia in English, coming to you from lovely Betsy's Hotel in Tbilisi, Georgia. Today is Thursday, the 9th of October, 2014. On this date in 768, Charlemagne is crowned King of the Franks. 1446, the Hangul alphabet is published in Korea. 1635, Rhode Island founder, religious dissident Roger Williams is banished from the Massachusetts Bay Colony because he'd spoken out against the right of civil authorities to punish religious dissent and to confiscate Indian land. Banished from Massachusetts, he sets up a settlement in cooperation with the Narragansett Indians. Big success, and assumed that that was a sign from God, and so called it Providence. 1701, Yale University is founded. 1767, surveying the Mason-Dixon line separating Maryland and Pennsylvania is completed. 1854, the siege of Sevastopol begins in the Crimean War. 1919, the Cincinnati Reds beat the Chicago White Sox to win the World Series when the so-called Black Sox faction throws the game. 1936, Hoover Dam begins transmitting electricity to Los Angeles. 1967, Che Guevara is executed in Bolivia. 1975, nuclear scientist and all-around great guy Andrei Sakharov wins the Nobel Peace Prize. 1981, the abolition of capital punishment in France. 2006, North Korea tests its first nuclear device. Birthdays today are John Lennon, David Cameron, PJ Harvey, and in 2008, Beau, the Obama's dog. Jacques Derrida died 10 years ago today. Today it's just me, Mark Mullen, my Georgian journal and Kvitis Politra column. This week is about the brand of Otsneba and what they stand for, and do we know enough about their vision for Georgia. If you'd like to comment on the blog or ask a question, go to tpeelpod.com or send us an email at tpeelpod@gmail.com. Following up on last week's story about members of pro-UNM youth group Free Zone allegedly beating a journalist, then clashes at their office with another group. On Thursday, the 2nd of October, the two rival groups, Free Zone and Free Generation, clashed on Pekini Street in Tbilisi in the middle of the afternoon. Dozens of activists from conservative youth group Tavi Supali Taoba, Free Generation, gathered outside the Free Zone office to protest the beating of the Asavala Savali journalist 2 days earlier on the 30th of September. One Free Zone activist was arrested in connection with the beating, but Taoba insists that there were more than 10 perpetrators and demand their arrest too. Zaza Davataya, the Asavala Savali journalist who was beaten, was also at the rally. Free Zone and UNM members, among them several members of parliament, stood at the entrance of the office defending it. Soon there were several hundred people on both sides cursing at each other and blocking traffic on Pekini. The police made a corridor between the two groups to prevent them from physically fighting. They started throwing various things at each other, water bottles, condoms filled with water. Is that a thing? Eggs. One person from Free Generation threw a broom at the other side, obviously referring to the prisoner abuse scandal from September 2012 when a video was leaked showing prisoners being sexually abused with brooms. The guy who threw the broom was detained by the police. Free Zone is openly pro-UNM. Free Generation have not shown overt support for the Georgian Dream Coalition, although Free Zone and UNM members accused them of being pro-Georgian Dream. Later that same day, Prime Minister Kharibashvili criticized media workers for not showing solidarity with their colleague, the Asafalda Savaldi journalist who was beaten. According to Georgi Oniani, the lawyer of the two Free Zone activists who were detained during the initial incident at their office on the 30th of September, the two were severely beaten by police in a temporary detention facility. Oniani said that the head of the Patrol Police Investigation Service threatened David Gogogia with rape. The lawyer demanded that the prosecutor's office investigate. On the 2nd of October, the president of Abkhazia, Raul Khajimba, said that he wants to close 4 of the 5 current checkpoints between the border crossing of Abkhazia and Georgia, according to RIA Novosti. He told an assembly of his party that for the purposes of national security, there should only be one border crossing on the Nguti River. He said that Sukhumi should tighten its policy towards Tbilisi, which he said was revanchist, has revanchist plans towards Abkhazia. On the 4th of October, Prime Minister Kharibashvili commented that the move is not a reasonable decision, that it will worsen the living conditions of ethnic Georgians living in Gali district, and will undermine Tbilisi's reconciliation efforts with Abkhazia. Kharibashvili pointed to the construction of a medical complex that began in August in the village of Ruchi near Zugdidi on the administrative border with Abkhazia. He said Georgia is building the hospital in order to ease trade ties and people-to-people contact. That, quote, we will respond with more love and warmth. But this, meaning closing down the border checkpoints, will not help in the reconciliation process, end quote. On the 6th of October, a relative of Prime Minister Khadabashvili was appointed executive secretary of the Georgian Dream Party. Zviad Djankarashvili is cousin of Prime Minister Khadabashvili's wife. The appointment was a unanimous decision by the political council of the Georgian Dream. The Georgian Dream Political Council consists of top leaders of the party and is headed by Khadabashvili. It's responsible for the party's strategic decisions. Recently, the council stripped Mormon Dumbadze, member of parliament from Ajada and vice speaker of parliament, of his party membership. As executive secretary, Djankarashvili will run the party's day-to-day activities, a post that wields significant power. When Khadabashvili was minister of interior, Djankarashvili was in the minister of interior too, in the position of Chief of General Inspection, which investigates police conduct and crimes committed by the police. More details on Djankarashvili. So he is cousin of Khadabashvili's wife, Nunu Tamazashvili, and so is the nephew of Tamazashvili, Khadabashvili's father-in-law. Tamazashvili is a high-ranking police officer. He used to be chief of Kakheti Regional Police under Shevardnadze. The UNM argues that Tamazashvili has significant influence over Georgian Dream decision-making through his son-in-law, even though he doesn't hold any significant position inside the ruling party. UNM is also saying that Djankarashvili's appointment means that Tamazashvili's influence over Georgian politics will be even stronger. Tamazashvili was arrested in October 2011 for allegedly possessing illegal firearms soon after BI announced his plans to enter politics for the 2012 elections. Georgian Dream regarded it as a political arrest, which of course it was. Tamazashvili was immediately released from prison when Georgian Dream won power in October 2012. Following up on previous week's stories on the new visa laws that came into effect on the 1st of September, on Saturday, the 4th of October, Prime Minister Khadabashvili commented on the new visa laws, which are causing some foreigners in Georgia quite a bit of trouble. He told journalists that if any defects become apparent, the government will surely correct it. A number of Armenian citizens complained that Georgian border guards prohibited them from entering Georgia. Speaker of the Armenian National Assembly, Galust Sakayan, talked about the problem with parliamentary chairperson Dato Usupashvili while visiting Tbilisi on the 6th of October. Usupashvili expressed regret over the incidents and said he hopes that the matter will be resolved. Economy Minister Georgi Kvitikashvili also commented on the 6th of October, saying that it is possible that the new visa regulations might be amended. On the 8th of October, Prime Minister Khadabashvili also apologized to foreign citizens having problems entering Georgia because of the new visa rules. He said any problems were not deliberate and repeated that all the shortcomings will be rectified very soon. He went on to praise Interior Minister Alexandre Chheidze for some reforms regarding the border police, saying Chheidze has done more over the last year than was done in the last 10 years. As people in Tbilisi will confirm, people are talking about rising street crime in Georgia, and some are looking at the ineffectiveness of the Interior Minister. Justice Minister Teya Tsoulikiani also commented on the new visa residence laws on the 7th of October. She basically chastised those foreigners now having problems with their visas and residence permits. She said that before the new rules came into force, foreigners in Georgia had 5 months for sorting out their documents required for obtaining residence permits, and many did that so successfully. Then she noted that some foreigners, quote, who for some reason could not believe that the law is the law, and in our country, law is law, now face problems because they did not take the 5 months to sort out their documents, end quote. She then promised to find a solution anyway to sort out their applications on a case-by-case basis. Yeah, pretty snarky comments by her there, especially considering the difficulty that people have had at the Mushroom Justice House and dealing with the documents. It's pretty arbitrary and confusing. On the 6th of October, BI said that he will launch his weekly TV talk show in 1 month at the earliest, before New Year's at the latest. He didn't give any more details, just that he is working very actively on it. He was speaking with journalists during a presentation of two new projects he's funding targeting school pupils and university students on civic education. As a reminder, in July, TV station Georgian Dream Studios, which is run by BI's son Beta, said it was working on a TV talk show that would be co-hosted by BI. But in a newspaper interview in mid-September, he said that there is a very low probability of it happening. On the 2nd of October, government submitted to Parliament the initial draft state budget for 2015. It sets revenues of 7.93 billion lari and spending at 7.89. 180 million lari is expected from foreign grants. Funding of the Georgian Orthodox Church remains unchanged at 25 million lari. The initial draft can be revised before it's put on parliamentary vote in December. Defense Minister Irakli Alasania wants funding increase for the Ministry of Defense and said he is optimistic they will get it. He said he has substantive discussions with the Finance Ministry, the entire cabinet and prime minister specifically on the issue. The initial draft allocated 625 million lari for the Ministry of Defense. In 2014, it was set at 660 million, but was lowered to 615.9 million after several scientific research institutes and the Delta Military Industrial Complex were transferred to the Ministry of Economy subordination. 2013, it was 610.4. 2012, it was 730.6 lari and 711 million in 2011. On the 6th of October, Federica Mogherini, Italy's foreign minister and the next EU foreign policy chief, told the European Parliament that the EU will need to support Georgia, Moldova, and Ukraine as part of the Eastern Neighborhood policy. Concerning Russia's desire to rebuild the Soviet sphere of influence, she said that, quote, if we could manage to show together that the European choice is good for the citizens of these countries, delivering concrete good results for the people, that would be an attractive pull factor for those parts of their societies that are probably thinking in a different way today, end quote. European Parliament is ready to ratify the Georgia-EU Association Agreement by the beginning of December, according to Alex Petriashvili, the State Minister for European and Euro-Atlantic Integration. Petriashvili is working on a working trip in Brussels and attended bilateral meetings with the European Parliament and the European Council. Prosecutor's office said that they have not found any evidence that Erosi Kitsmatashvili, founder of Rustavi Ori, was murdered. Kitsmatashvili was found dead in his car in his building's parking lot on the 15th of July with a gunshot wound to the head. Written statement was a response to an appeal by Kitsmatashvili's brother Zuda, who does not believe his brother's death was suicide. The prosecutor office declined Zuda Kitsmatashvili's appeal, although he, his lawyer, and an independent expert were allowed to see the material in the investigation. On the 7th of October, two Georgians, a husband and a wife, were detained by Russian border guards when they accidentally crossed the South Ossetian border. The couple were on their way to visit relatives, according to the Ministry of Internal Affairs. They were taken to a detention center in Artsevi in South Ossetia near the occupation line. They were later released. In previous cases, all Georgian citizens detained for crossing the border were released only after paying fines, as they call them, and are usually held in the detention center in Skhinvali. Last week, Russia said that it will end the Flex exchange program to the U.S. Sadly, the scholarship sends high school students from the former Soviet Union to live with an American family and study at an American high school. American officials said on the 7th of October that half the slots that would have gone to Russian students during the academic year will instead be allocated to Ukrainians. The other half will go to students from Georgia, Moldova, and Armenia, amounting to a total of 200 spots. On a similar note, British Ambassador to Georgia Alexandra Hall announced that the UK government plans to triple scholarship financing for Georgian students to do their master's degrees at British universities. The scholarship through the Chevening program are mainly for studies in economy and politics. Georgia and Lithuania will hold joint military exercises within the NATO-Georgia cooperation package. It was announced the 6th of October, the meeting between Prime Minister Kharabashvili and Minister of Defense of Lithuania on an official visit to Tbilisi. Two security guards of the late Prime Minister Zuda Zhvania will face a jury trial. Mikhail Dadzamia and Koba Karshiladze are charged in connection with Zhvania's death in 2005. They're charged with negligence on the job. The two defendants requested their trial be heard in front of a jury. Jury selection process will start on the 22nd of October. President Mark Velashvili signed a decree pardoning 115 inmates. 88 of the prisoners were let out on the 8th of October, according to Zviad Koridze, the chairman of the Pardon Commission. Koridze said different types of convicts were pardoned, including those with severe and less severe criminal charges. The remaining 27 got their sentences reduced. On the 8th of October, UNM members standing at Tbilisi City Hall were not allowed to attend the City Hall session. Nika Meloa, who was UNM's candidate for Tbilisi mayor in June 2014 election, said that the government session is open for any citizen to attend, and it is illegal to refuse them entry. He said that they wanted to know why many City Hall employees were dismissed over the past weeks. A UNM member of the City Council, Irakli Abesadze, was also not allowed to attend the session. The OSCE will hold its annual parliamentary assembly in 2016 in Batumi. The decision was negotiated by a Georgian parliamentary delegation led by the head of the Euro Integration Committee, Victor Dolidze. On the 8th of October, Parliament stressed that hosting such a large-scale meeting was unprecedented for the country. Georgian government launched a new website where foreigners can learn Georgian in honor of European Day of Languages. The site is www.geofl.ge and apparently provides all the necessary materials and tutorials to learn Georgian. Following up on last week's story, Georgian allegedly offering the U.S. to host training centers for Syrian rebels. On the 2nd of October, the Russian Ministry of Foreign Affairs said that it is taking seriously Tbilisi's denial of the report. They warned that such a decision would have had negative consequences on the ongoing normalization of Georgian-Russian relations, and that it would have seriously damaged stability and security in the South Caucasus, so close to the Russian border. On the 8th of October, the Russian MFA repeated again that placing elements of NATO-linked infrastructure in Georgia would pose a threat to stability in the Caucasus. Yeah, right. President Margvelashvili had an interview with Forbes Georgia. He talked about BI to say he cannot respond to BI's criticism of him because it's without political context. Not sure what that means. He says BI talks about feelings, emotions, phrases taken from personal relationships, and politicians should not talk about it. It's better to refrain from having a dialogue from TV. He also talked about Russia and the region and Putin. He said he is interested in Putin based on the fact that he can actually resolve the most difficult problems that Georgia is facing, meaning Abkhazia and South Ossetia. He continued to say, quote, I hope that Putin is in favor of rational politics and that the time will come when Georgia and Russia will be able to build relations, end quote. On the 8th of October, U.S. Ambassador to Georgia Richard Norland said that he hopes that President Mark Velashvili will pay a visit to Washington in the near future. Mark Velashvili met with about 100 representatives of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce in Tbilisi. As a reminder, President Mark Velashvili was supposed to make a visit to the U.S. and speak at the U.N. Climate Change Summit in New York in September, but after weeks of public wrangling, the Prime Minister went instead. On the 7th of October, the Georgian Court of Human Rights ruled that severe harassment of Jehovah's Witnesses in Georgia was tolerated by authorities 2000 to 2001 in the case of Begeluri and others versus Georgia. It ruled Georgia had to pay each of the 99 applicants €350 in respect to non-pecuniary damages and €15,000 to the applicants jointly for costs and expenses. A new accommodation center for illegal migrants opened in Tbilisi on the 8th of October. The center has a cafeteria, library, computer room, sports arena, and playground. Prime Minister Khatibashvili attended the opening and boasted that the center is a concrete achievement of the government's consistent migration policy. We have started regulating the visa regime, which before was chaotic and totally incomprehensible. Influential Georgian theater director Temur Chkheidze is returning to work in Georgia after a long career in St. Petersburg. He's now leading the recently established Contemporary Theatrical Arts Development Center, which opened in Tbilisi in the beginning of October. Chkheidze received the titles People's Artist of Georgia in 1981 and People's Artist of Russia in 1994. He was also recipient of the Lenin Prize in 1986. The Georgian-Estonian wartime film Tangerines, or Mandari Nebi, won the Jury Grand Prize awarded at the International Film Festival War on Screen 2014, International Festival of War Cinema. The film was held in France during the first week of October. Health Ministry said it is modernizing its ambulance services. Every vehicle, 220 of them, will be replaced by the beginning of next year. Health Minister Dato Zakarenko explained that in rural areas, ambulances sometimes arrive to emergency calls an hour late. There was a 3.7 magnitude earthquake in Georgia on the 8th of October. Early in the morning, the epicenter was near the mining town of Tribouli in Imereti, according to the Georgian Trade Union Metallurgy, Mining, and Chemical Industry Workers. The quake caused a minor section of Tribouli's Mindeli coal mine to collapse, and one miner was hurt. Georgian opera singer Tamar Iveri postponed her promised charity concert by 2 months. It was originally announced for the 11th of October. A few Georgian media outlets reported that Iveri recently gave birth to twins, and so the concert was moved to the 10th of December. In July 2014, Iveri promised to have a charity concert in Tbilisi to support LGBT rights. This came after she was denied a performance in Australia and Brussels over homophobic statements she posted on her Facebook page on the 17th of May, 2013. Children of Georgian war veterans will have the opportunity to study on a master's program for free. The Education Ministry announced that it would find up to 30 students. Applications are open until the 20th of October. Applicants will have to present a document proving that they are the children of veterans. The government earlier announced that it would grant 500 lari monthly to the families of military people who died while in service. IDP families who are living in an abandoned sanatorium in Sudami and Shidikartli will receive new accommodation from the state. The Ministry for IDPs is rehabilitating and gifting two buildings to house 110 families in Khashuri. It will take 10 months to complete the reconstruction before the refugees' families can move in. The Ministry IDPs will also be issuing 4.5 million lari this winter to help IDPs pay their gas and power bills. Ilia II will hold a mass baptism for over 600 babies on Sunday, the 12th of October, at the Holy Trinity Cathedral, Samempa. It will be the 37th mass baby baptism since he began the ceremony in 2008. Since then, Ilia II has become godfather to over 19,000 children. The purpose of the baptism ceremonies was to encourage people to have more children. In 2007, Ilia II promised to personally baptize any baby born to Orthodox Christian parents who already had more than two children. Since then, birth rates in Georgia increased from 11.2 to 12.9 per 1,000 people. According to statistics from the Georgian National Statistics Department, which kind of freaks me out. Georgian kickboxer Giga Chikaidze won the Super Fight boxing title in Amsterdam on the 4th of October against Armen Zakyan of Russia. He dedicated his victory to fighting violence against women. Grammy Award-winning American trumpeter and composer Chris Botti will take part in a Georgian charity concert in Tbilisi on the 13th of October. He will perform alongside the Georgian State Symphony Orchestra at Tbilisi Concert Hall in support of the Ivnana Charity Foundation. Money raised at the event will go towards supporting homeless families. Georgian female filmmakers will be showcased at the 19th Busan International Film Festival in South Korea this month. The special program will feature 12 films, including A Story of Mountainous Racha, directed in 1930 by Georgia's first female director, Nutsa Gogaberidze. Parliamentary news. This week, Parliament's discussing the 2015 draft budget. During a hearing on the 7th of October, Finance Minister Nodar Khadouri told Parliamentary Finance Committee that the government plans to increase monthly pensions for next year and 2016. A precise growth rate is currently being discussed and is not yet reflected in the initial draft of the 2015 budget. Basic monthly pensions in Georgia is currently set at 150 lari. Anywhere between 2 and 10 lari is added monthly depending on the length of service. Opposition lawmakers from UNM were not present at the committee hearing. They're boycotting meetings held in the renovated parliament building in Tbilisi in protest over the partial relocation of the parliament from Kutaisi. UNM is criticizing the proposed initial draft of the 2015 budget, saying that it is not oriented towards job creation and economic growth. The meme this week is a photo from National Geographic's Instagram by a photographer whose handle is at Argonaut Photo. In 1999, he traveled to Svaneti and took a portrait of a young girl. He went back in 2013 and found her. Now there's a double portrait of them. On Instagram, it has 131,000 likes. His National Geographic blog post on Sonetti is in our things to read. Eka Gulowa reports for the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project on Georgia's IDPs. Georgia has 250,000 registered IDPs. As of March 2014, slightly fewer than half were still living in collective centers, while 134,000 had moved into permanent housing. Gulowa tells the story of one IDP woman living in Poti who, along with 30 other families, was scammed trying to obtain permanent housing in Tbilisi. Several ministry employees were also allegedly involved in the scam, though they haven't been brought to court. Inga Popovitie writes in Democracy and Freedom Watch on the continuing practice of bride kidnapping in rural Georgia following an incident in Kakheti when a young man was murdered by his bride-to-be's family while trying to kidnap her. A photo essay by Anthony Georgiev for Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty on abandoned places in Abkhazia. Civil.ge has a breakdown of the 2015 draft state budget, in case you're curious how much is allotted to each ministry. It's quite interesting. Levan Nikolyan writes for the New Eastern Europe on regional politics behind the Suchumi-Tbilisi Railway. There's talks of reopening it, and as can be expected, some parties want it reopened, others don't. Vice Munchies section has a recipe on how to make your own Khajapuri. The state photographic essay on strange and abandoned architecture features Georgia's Ministry of Transportation in Tbilisi. As mentioned above, National Geographic photographer Aaron Huey, a.k.a. Argonaut Photo, on going back to Svaneti 14 years later. Really great opportunity to see this Georgian documentary, if you haven't before, called The Machine Which Makes Everything Disappear. It's on YouTube in Georgian with English subtitles. The filmmaker put out a casting call for young adults from rural Georgia to star in a film, but really is interviewing all these young people to learn their hopes, goals, and views. All these things to read or post in the forum. This week's GeoCapital number is 8.4, according to Geostat. This is the percentage of inflation for prices on food and non-alcoholic beverages for September 2014 compared to September 2013. The price of vegetables increased by 27.3%, fruit by nearly 17%, milk, cheese, and eggs by 12%. Until the 14th of October, Amirani Cinema is showing Annabelle at 10:30 p.m. On the 11th of October, they are showing Maze Runner at 10:30 p.m. And every day until the 15th of October, except for the 13th, they're showing Gone Girl at 7:15. For those in Tbilisi, on Friday, the 10th of October, TI Georgia will be hosting an information session about the new visa and residency rules for foreigners in Georgia. It's at 12 p.m. at Betsy's Hotel, 3234 Makashvili Street. Confirm attendance by sending an email to gigi@transparency.ge. In Tbilisi, on the 13th of October, the American Research Institute of the South Caucasus and CRC are having a free public lecture called Spaces of Stalin, Hometown Effect, Historical Legacy, and Politico-Economic Landscape. The study explores the impact of physical space on people's attitudes. They examine whether support for Stalin is concentrated in his birthplace of Gori or if it's equally spread throughout the country. The lecture will be delivered by Dr. Alexei Gugashvili from Oxford University and Dr. Peter Kabachnik. Again, it is on the 13th of October, 5 p.m. at 3 Chachavadze Avenue, Tbilisi State, Block 2, 3rd Room, Room 336. It is the Library for the Center of Social Sciences. The 10th of October at 7 p.m., Radharami is having a book presentation at Tbilisi for the newest publication, Honor Code, How Moral Revolutions Happen. It'll be at Bookhouse Ligamos, number 32, Chachavadze. Guest speaker will be Georgian blogger Shota Kinjakashvili. The book is available at Biblos Books for only 2 lari. It makes a great present for Georgian readers. Very, very interesting book. Georgian National Gallery in Tbilisi has an exhibition until the 18th of October featuring the photographs of Dmitry Ermakov, a Georgian photographer and collector. It's on 11 Rustaveli. Till the 16th of October, the Tbilisi History Museum of the Georgian National Museum will host an exhibition called Bertha von Suttner in Gordi. It depicts Austrian journalist Bertha von Suttner, who became the first female Nobel Prize winner in 1905, and her stay in Gordi, the palace of Georgian nobles, the noble family Dadiani in western Georgia. For those of you in the UK, Scotland, and Georgia's football teams will be playing each other on the 11th of October at Ibrox Stadium in Glasgow. It's a European qualifier match. You can get tickets from the Scottish Football Association site. As a reminder, the University of California, Berkeley is having an exhibition on discovering Georgian cinema and has multiple screenings each week for a few months. On the 11th of October, they're showing Three Lives, Part 1 and 2. And on the 12th of October, they're showing The Case of Tadiel Mkvaladze. On the 17th of October, Magdana's Donkey. Also on the 17th of October, showing Molbga. On their site, it's bampfa.berkeley.edu/filmseries/Georgian for the full schedule and to get tickets. For those who live in Toronto, Canada, Georgian musician Shalva Makarashvili will be giving a six-week singing workshop running from the 14th of October to the 18th of November. It'll be Tuesdays from 7 to 9 p.m. at Dufferin and Bloor. Price is $200 for new participants, $150 for repeat students. For more information and or to register, email singincuz@gmail.com. That's singinkuz, all written together, at gmail.com. In Tbilisi on the 15th of October, ISEC Georgia, together with the European Alumni Association and the Polish Embassy, would like to invite students for a four-hour workshop to learn about the EU's DCFTA and how it will affect Georgia. Again, it's on the 15th of October, 3 p.m. at the Free University. Don't forget that Synodoc Tbilisi is running from the 14th to the 19th of October. Check out their Facebook to find the schedule. Just type in Synodoc, C-I-N-E-D-O-C, Tbilisi, and you'll find it on Facebook. The 35th annual Tbilisi Soba will be on the 25th and 26th of October throughout Tbilisi. There will be an autumn market as well as concerts and performances. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is @txtbuk. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com or post to the form on our website, www.tbilpod.com. And from 1967, we'll finish with Bobby Gentry and Ode to Billy Joe.
Was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day. I was out chopping cotton and my brother was baling hay. And at dinner time we stopped and walked back to the house to eat. Choctaw Ridge. Today Billy Joe McAllister jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge. Papa said to Mama as he passed around the black-eyed peas, Billy Joe never had a liquor since. Pass the biscuits, please. Never comes to no good up on Choctaw Ridge. And now Billy Joe McAllister's jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge. Brother said he read the letter when he and Tom and Billy Joe put a frog down my back at the Carroll County Picture Show. Talking to him after church last Sunday night. I'll have another piece of apple pie. You know it don't seem right. I saw him at the sawmill yesterday on Choctaw Ridge. And now you tell me Billy Joe.
Rose jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge. Mama said to me, child, what's happened to your appetite? Well, I've been cooking all morning and you haven't touched a single bite. That nice young preacher, Brother Taylor, dropped by today. Said he'd be pleased to have dinner on Sunday. Oh, by the way, he said he saw a girl that looked a lot like you up on Choctaw Ridge. And she and Billy Joe was throwing something off the Tallahatchie Bridge. A year has come and gone since we heard the news about Billy Joe. Brother married Becky Thompson. They bought a store in Tupelo. There was a virus going round. Papa caught it and he died last spring. Now Mama doesn't seem to want to do much of anything.